You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will go to our phone callers and our questions in just a few moments, but I want to open today's broadcast with just a few words about tolerance. And the reason is today tolerance is being redefined, and it's being redefined to mean that all views are equally valid and all lifestyles are equally appropriate. And I would say that rather than capitulate to culture, Christians should be equipped to expose the flaws of today's tolerance. At the same time, exemplify what true tolerance means. You see, to say that all views are equally valid sounds tolerant, but in reality, this is a contradiction in terms. If indeed all views were equally valid, then the Christian view must be valid. The Christian view, however, holds that not all views are equally valid, and therefore, the redefinition of tolerance in our culture is a self-refuting proposition. We do not tolerate people with whom we agree, we tolerate people with whom we disagree. If we had this idea that all views were equally valid, there would be no need for tolerance. Furthermore, today's redefinition of tolerance leaves no room for objective moral judgments. A modern terrorist can be deemed as virtuous as Mother Teresa. Because if you don't have an enduring reference point, societal norms are quickly reduced to mere matters of preference. And as such, the moral basis for resolving international disputes and for condemning such intuitively evil practices as genocide or oppression of women and child prostitution is seriously compromised. In light of its philosophically fatal features, Christians must reject today's tolerance and revive true tolerance. And true tolerance simply means that despite our differences, we treat every person we meet with the dignity and respect due them as those who are created in the image of God. True tolerance doesn't preclude proclaiming the truth, but it does mandate that we do so with gentleness and with respect. In a world that is increasingly intolerant of Christianity, Christians must exemplify tolerance without sacrificing truth. Indeed, tolerance, when it comes to personal relationships, is a virtue, but tolerance when it comes to truth, well, that's a travesty. I've written about that and more in the Complete Bible Answer Book, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check that book out on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Eldon, listening in Richmond, Missouri. Hi, Eldon.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry. It seems to me that there is a good deal of evidence that dinosaurs and man possibly coexisted. And one of the pieces of evidence is in Job, when God is talking to Job and he tells him to consider Behemoth, and he says that he's the chief of all God's ways, and his strength's in his belly, and his tail is like a cedar. And that seems to me to be talking about maybe like a brachiosaur. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think that's what's going on at all. There certainly are a lot of people that would disagree with me. They would say Behemoth and Leviathan are examples of land-dwelling and sea-dwelling dinosaurs. But I think you have to look at the literary progression of the book of Job. And if you look at that progression, you see that there's a movement from creation to creatures to the cherub who once ranked first in the order of creation. And of course, I think you know precisely who I'm talking about, Satan. So in the literary progression of the Bible, the monster is vanquished, very much like what you find in Isaiah, Leviathan, the gliding serpent, Leviathan, the coiling serpent, God will slay the monster of the sea. Interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture, the literary personification of Satan actually becomes pretty apparent. In Genesis, he's presented as an alluring serpent, a serpent that tempts humanity to fall into lives of perpetual sin terminated by death. In the book of Psalms, he is portrayed as a multi-headed monster opposing the purposes of God. In Isaiah, he is, of course, the coiling serpent emerging out of the primal waters, and in Revelation, a red dragon that personifies the extremities of evil. So what you have going on in Job 40:41 with Leviathan and Behemoth are not dinosaur depictions, but personifications that illustrate a metaphysical reality. And that metaphysical reality is that the mythology of the dragon underscores the reality of the devil. So again, I think it's important to follow the literary progression. I've actually spelled all of this out in some detail in a book called The Creation Answer Book, in which I answer some of the most common and controversial questions that are asked about origins. That book, again, you can see on the web at equip.org. Go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Michelle. She's listening in Illinois. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I have a question for you, and it involves what happens right after you die. And, you know, my mom says that she doesn't go visit the grave because grandma's not there anymore. And I'm a new Christian this year, and I've had opposing viewpoints to that. And she thinks that you just go up, you know, you don't spend any more time on earth. You know, you just go up and right after you die.
Well, here's what the Bible says. And of course, my opinion, your opinion, your mom's opinion, none of that really matters. It's really what does Scripture say? Because Scripture is the final court of arbitration. It's where we test all things and hold fast to that which is good, that which is true, that which is right. What you find in Scripture is absent from the body, present with the Lord. And what that means, Michelle, is that when your mother conceived you, she conceived you as a body-soul unity. When you die, your soul leaves your body. So your body's buried, but the non-physical aspect of your humanity continues to have existence or awareness in the presence of God. But there's something that happens later on, even after death, when Jesus appears a second time. When that happens, then the soul returns to the body, and the body is resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And then you live in a resurrected body in a restored universe with a resurrected Christ.
Okay, that's where I guess I was getting confused at, you know, because I have people saying that you're going to stay in the ground and not have time consciousness until the resurrection.
Well, you will have awareness. The non-physical aspect of your humanity can continue to exist apart from the body. And based on the Bible, and not just on logic and other reasons which I could give you, but based on the Bible, it's very clear that absent from the body, you're present with the Lord, so you have awareness in the presence of the Lord until such time that Jesus appears a second time, and then your body is resurrected as well. So the soul returns to your body, and then you are what you were intended to be, a resurrected, immortal, imperishable person for all eternity. And that's the idea that Christianity presents. It presents that paradise lost becomes paradise restored. Physical resurrection is the heart of the Christian message. And so if you die today, you're awaiting still that physical resurrection, but you have conscious awareness as a believer in the presence of the Lord.
Well, that makes more sense to me. Well, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Well, it is my pleasure. And if you want to hang on, I'd be happy to send you some information. And may you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, visiting a gravesite is not a bad thing. The Bible teaches that we respect the bodily remains in anticipation of resurrection. That's one of the reasons we bury as Christians, because we're saying that body that is buried will one day be resurrected. So Christianity is not about escape from the body. It's about the resurrection of the body. Be right back.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Reagan, listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Reagan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, sir. My question is, do you feel that Mormonism is it a Christian religion? And if not, is it a dangerous religion?
Well, it's certainly not a Christian religion in any sense whatsoever, even according to Mormons themselves. You know, if you look at Mormonism, they had a founder named Joseph Smith who claimed that all existing churches were wrong, that all their creeds were an abomination, that all their professors were corrupt, and then, according to Smith, he had been chosen to restore, not to reform, but to restore a church that had disappeared from the face of the earth. What he came up with in the restoration was something completely other than what the historic Christian faith had taught. For example, the founder of Mormonism taught that God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man who sits enthroned in yonder heavens. So, they believe that God was once a man, and as God is now God, we as men can become as God is.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, if you in Mormonism attain to the third level of heaven, they have three different levels of heaven, you can become a god in your own right and rule your own planet.
I don't know of anything of that that says that in the Bible.
Well, the Bible is not their authority. They believe that the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion. So they don't hold to the Bible as being the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, but rather the Book of Mormon.
That's sad because, you know, I've had several of them come visit me at the house, and they just seem like really nice people, but I'm just like, you know, there's something about that. It doesn't jive with me. You know what I mean?
If you want to hang on, there's a flip chart that I did in this respect. It's called the Mormon Mirage. And what this flip chart does is it gives you, in a memorable fashion, the deviations of Mormonism from historic Christianity.
And do you feel it's a dangerous religion?
It's a spiritually dangerous religion. Yes, and I think you got to make that qualification because it's theologically aberrant. And, of course, what you believe theologically, of course, has consequences, but it's theologically a dangerous religion. I'm not suggesting that it is dangerous as in some of the sociological dangers of cults like Jim Jones. I think you have to make that distinction because oftentimes when people use the word cult or dangerous religions, they sometimes blur the lines between that which is dangerous from a theological or a spiritual perspective and that which is dangerous from a physical perspective where you're being controlled in virtually every dimension of your life by a charismatic leader, as in, you know, the Heaven's Gate cult or Jim Jones or these kinds of cults. So it's not dangerous in that sense, but it certainly is dangerous from a spiritual perspective because they have a different Jesus and a different gospel.
So the Mormon Jesus and the Christian Jesus, it's two different, it's not the same one?
No, absolutely not the same one. They compromise the nature of Jesus Christ. In Christianity, Jesus is the self-existent creator of all things. In Mormonism, he's the spirit brother of Lucifer, who was conceived in heaven by a celestial mother and then comes in flesh as the result of the father having sex with the Virgin Mary.
Wait a minute, brother with Lucifer, you mean Satan? They
yep.
think that Jesus yep. and Satan are brothers?
Yeah. Basically, what you have here is you have spirit brothers, and you can go farther and say that you are a spirit brother of both Jesus and Lucifer.
Oh, that is messed up.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is the first spiritual child, according to Mormonism, conceived and begotten by Heavenly Father and one of Heavenly Father's many wives, a wife commonly referred to as Heavenly Mother. And the idea is that just as Heavenly Father progressed to godhood, so Jesus progressed through obedience to the status of a God prior to his incarnation on earth. And so Mormons teach that Heavenly Father had other spirit children after Jesus. In fact, we ourselves are thought to be spirit children of Father God and Mother God. And so they refer to Jesus as our elder brother. Now, it stands to reason that if Jesus is the first spirit child conceived and begotten by Heavenly Father, and if Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother subsequently conceive other spirit children, including Satan, then Jesus and Satan logically are spirit brothers.
So they're a polytheistic cult then.
Henotheistic, but yeah, they say they only worship one God. But yeah, in reality, there are many gods, and you yourself can become a god in Mormonism. So they have a completely different sense of what salvation means. Christians believe that they will stand before God dressed in the spotless robes of Christ's righteousness. Mormons contend that they will appear before Heavenly Father dressed in fig leaf aprons, holding good works in their hands. And according to Mormons, virtually everyone qualifies for heaven. So there's a celestial heaven that pretty much everybody gets into. And then there's a terrestrial heaven. And then there is a celestial heaven. That's for Temple Mormons. If you're a Temple Mormon, if you're sealed in a secret temple ritual, then you can get to the third level of the celestial kingdom and become a god of your own planet.
I'll just stick to Christianity. That'd be fine with me.
Well, it's good to know the deviations so you can use them as springboards or opportunities to share the truth and love and grace that only the real Jesus can bring to the human heart.
Well, that is so true, man. That is so true. So, okay. Well, that pretty much answers my question. I think I know how to handle them when they come to the door.
Okay, and hang on. I can send this flip chart out to you. Back to another caller, Saskia in Reno, Nevada, listening on Sirius XM 131.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
That was a great call. You explained that well. It's, you know, and you got to chuckle at that.
Well, how you doing, Saskia?
I'm good. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
So my question, it goes back to where I came into part of a conversation you were having with somebody regarding the rapture and the second coming of Christ. And you said that the popular teaching, it sounded like you were saying that it was incorrect, but I didn't really get your take on it. So what do I have to look forward to here? Hopefully tell me it soon.
Well, what you have to look forward to is, first of all, life now, which is that you live your life in such a way that you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. When you die, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord as a believer. In fact, Paul says that is even better than the present life. So life after life is even better than life. And then there is life after life after life, which is to say that when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appears a second time, then we are resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We're changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we live in resurrected bodies in a resurrected universe with a resurrected Savior.
So where does the rapture fit into any of this?
Well, it depends on what you mean by rapture, but what is commonly meant by rapture is what's called a pre-tribulational rapture, and the idea there is that there's a secret coming and a second coming. And the basic idea is that Jesus comes in a secret coming and people are raptured. They go to heaven for 7 years. And during that period of time, two-thirds of the Jews, some say in Israel, some say on earth, are butchered in a Holocaust that exceeds any Holocaust that's ever taken place in human history. After that great tribulation of 7 years, there's a second coming of Jesus Christ where Jesus Christ comes back to earth with those who have been raptured and establishes a rebuilt temple and a reinstituted system of temple sacrifices in a millennial kingdom. Now, that's what I would disagree with, and I've written about that in a book called The Apocalypse Code.
Okay, so back to, I believe because in 2 Thessalonians it says that we will not suffer the wrath of God. So that is where people are getting the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture. Is that right?
Well, partly. I mean, some will point to passages like Revelation chapter 3. Some point to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Some, as you point out, to 2 Thessalonians. Some point to John 14. So there's an amalgamation of texts that are used to communicate the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture. But quite frankly, I don't think that Scripture anywhere teaches a pre-tribulational rapture. And even in the more explicit passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what's really in view is not a pre-tribulational rapture, but the resurrection of believers, which is to say that we do not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. So that's a great and glorious passage on resurrection, not on a pre-tribulational rapture. I think someone has to have that presupposition and impose it on the text. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember our contact information as we close the show, equip.org on the web, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271 via the mail, and via the phone it's 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.